Please be seated. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Nice to see you here. Last Sunday was special, Easter. It was when we celebrated the glorious resurrection of Jesus. And I'm sure all of us know that very famous song, Because He Lives. The words go like this: because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Amen. Because death has been defeated. Unfortunately, it was not immediately so. Not for the disciples of Jesus. Because in our scripture reading from John 20, we find that the disciples were like this. They were behind closed doors. Not only closed, but locked doors. The Bible says they were behind locked doors because of fear. They were afraid because their rabbi, their master, Jesus, had been brutally killed. And now they were afraid that those who killed their rabbi would soon come after them to put them in prison or maybe to kill them also. And so they were afraid. Now I know that many Bible translations say that they were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Actually, I think that's not quite a correct translation, because the disciples themselves were Jews. So why would they be afraid of the Jews? I think a more accurate translation is they were afraid of the Jewish religious leaders. These were the people who had killed Jesus. So they were afraid. And how about us? What are we afraid of? You know, there are many different kinds of fears. There is acrophobia, which is fear of darkness. Carcinophobia, fear of cancer. Dentophobia, fear of dentists. Illyrophobia, fear of cats. Eremophobia, fear of loneliness. Gerascophobia, fear of growing old. And homilophobia, fear of sermons. So I don't know who has a greater fear of sermons, the hearers or the preacher. Maybe all very frightened. As we went through the list of those phobias, and it's not exhaustive, it's only a selection. Actually, there are so many more kinds of fears. I wonder, would you say, how many of you would say that you have at least one of those fears? At least one. So few of you, so few. You're such a brave people. How many have more than two of those fears? Nobody. Well, very few. My goodness, I have more than three. Maybe that's why I selected that list. The good news is, just as the disciples were in fear, and Jesus appeared to them to help them to overcome their fear, so too today, Jesus will help us to overcome our fear. And so our topic for today, overcoming fear by receiving two things from the Lord. Firstly, a new purpose, and then secondly, new power. In the first century in Israel, there were lots of rabbis, and each rabbi had his own group of disciples. It was a custom that disciples would follow their rabbi. They would leave their family, leave their friends, and just follow their rabbi wherever he traveled. All over Israel, they would follow him. And in the case of the disciples of Jesus, they had done this for about 3 years already. And so their whole purpose in life had been to follow Jesus. But now Jesus had died. He had been crucified. And it was as though the disciples were suddenly shaken. It was like they were sheep without a shepherd. They had lost their compass. They had lost their bearing. I wonder if you've ever felt the same way. You wake up in the morning and you're scared, too scared to get out of bed. Scared because you don't know what to do today. Or in fact, maybe you don't know what to do for the rest of your life. I think the disciples were like that. Fear had gripped them. They'd lost their self-confidence completely. But when Jesus appeared to them, And remember, they were behind locked doors. But Jesus had this new resurrected body after rising from the dead. It's different from our physical bodies. Our physical bodies, you walk into a wall, that's it. You injure yourself badly. But the resurrected body could go through walls. The resurrected body could go through locked doors. When Jesus appeared, he gave them a new purpose. John 20, 21. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." All this time, the disciples had been following Jesus. But now, he said, now the time has come where they would be in the front line of the work of the kingdom of God. Just as God the Father had sent him, now he was sending them. But how did God the Father send Jesus? In one word, love. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." God the Father sent Jesus in love. Everything that Jesus did, he did in love. And this is to be our new purpose also, that we may live a life of loving other people. Last year, I went on a holiday to Wales. But to me, it was more than a holiday. It was more like a pilgrimage, because for some time already, there was a deep stirring in my spirit to long to go to Wales, the land of revival. It was the land of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 1904 to 1905, the great Welsh revival. It started with a man named Evan Roberts. And although it started with just one man, Evan Roberts was so much on fire for God. He loved God so much that soon the revival spread right through the whole of Wales. Wales was also the land of Rees Howells. Rees Howells founded the Bible College of Wales, and it is said that when he prayed, it was so powerful that he's gone down in history as one of the greatest intercessors of all time. So deep in my spirit, I long to know, what is it about Wales that God loves this land so much that he keeps visiting this land with revival, wave after wave of revival? I remember as my plane was touching down to Wales, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said, learn why I love Wales so much. And as the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, I was literally shaking and I was crying because the Holy Spirit was on me. I need to tell you that I'm actually a very bad traveler. I get airsick very easily. And the time when the plane is landing, that is a time I'm trying my hardest not to vomit. But that day, as my plane was landing in Wales, there was no sickness, but it was only this deep sense that the Holy Spirit is upon me and he's speaking to me. Learn why I love Wales. And then one day in Wales, my sister Jocelyn got very sick. She came down with a bad cold. And so we had to go to the doctor. We were in a small town. It's called Newport. And we went to this clinic. It's called Newport Surgery. The place was very crowded inside. And so I waited outside. Very cold. The wind was in my face. It was very cold. But as I was waiting outside in the cold, again, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about why he loves Wales. And this time, the Holy Spirit said, "Observe." And so I began to observe. And what I noticed was that a car drew up, and out of the car came out a very elderly lady. This woman was so elderly, she could hardly walk. But I saw that strangers, complete strangers, would rush up to this lady to hold her hand, to help her to walk. And then I saw babies arriving at the clinic, and I saw how much their parents loved them and took care of them. And then suddenly, it hit me. The Welsh people have learned how to love. They love the elderly people because elderly people cannot take care of themselves. They love babies so much. Babies also cannot take care of themselves. And as I was reflecting on this, and yes, it happened again. I was crying again. I was shaking again because the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. Through all of this, suddenly I remembered there is a third group that the Welsh people also love. And this third group is dogs. They love dogs so much. They bring their dogs everywhere with them and they lavish their love on their dogs. I met so many dogs when I was in Wales and I took pictures with every one of them because the dogs are so friendly, their owners are so friendly, and it meant so much to me because my own beloved dog had died just one day before I left Singapore. So it meant a lot. And I'd like to show you the favorite picture that I took. This is a favorite picture of me. I saw this very cute brown dog in a Jeep. And then I looked at the driver's seat and I saw, well, through the glass, it looked to me like a black man with long, curly black hair. And so I said to the man in the driver's seat, I said, "Are you the owner of this brown dog?" And he shook his head. I said, "Oh, so if you don't mind, I would like to take a photo." No response from the man in the driver's seat, so I took this photo. Only later, when I stared closer, I realized the man in the driver's seat, the black man with the long curly hair, he's not a man. He's a dog. No wonder when I said to him, "Are you the owner of this brown dog?" He shook his head. Amen. Coming back to the point, the Welsh people have learned to love. They love the elderly. They love babies. They even love dogs. Anyone who cannot take care of themselves, they will go out of their way to take care and to show love. And I believe it is this quality of love in the people that so attracts God, that so pleases God, that His presence is made manifest in the land. He pours out His Holy Spirit more and more. The land of revival. Amen. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you in love." We preach the gospel not just with our words, but with our actions, with our deeds. And if we show love to people, they are more open to receive what we have to say. You know, this was the new purpose that Jesus called His disciples to. John 13:35. "By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We can show love in very practical ways. Doesn't have to be big things. Even small things, we can touch the hearts of other people. One day recently, I was in the supermarket with my helper. Her name is Luluk. She's an Indonesian Christian, and she's a member of this church, 7 a.m. service. So one day, I was in the supermarket with my helper. And to my great surprise, a total stranger came running up to Luluk. And the stranger was just thanking her and thanking her in beautiful long sentences of Mandarin. I must tell you that my helper is an Indonesian who doesn't speak Mandarin. And this lady was a tourist from China who doesn't speak Indonesian. And I think they both don't speak that much English. So they could hardly communicate. But I found out later that this tourist from China, at the supermarket, she wanted to take a trolley, but she didn't have a coin. You know, you need coins to get trolleys. She didn't have. But Luluk, out of her own goodwill, gave a dollar coin to the tourist. And the tourist was so touched that after she did her shopping, after she returned the trolley, she just ran everywhere looking for Luluk, not only to return the coin, but to thank her and thank her. And so I found, love doesn't have to be very big things. Better if it is, but it doesn't have to be. Even small things show love. Show kindness. You can touch the hearts of people. In this way, if we live a life of love, we will have greater confidence as we live life every day. So overcoming fear, firstly, with a new purpose of love. Secondly, a new power. God gives to us a new power, and this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen. That power, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was poured out from heaven on the day of Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 2. But even before that great outpouring of Acts 2, we see this incident in John 20, which is like a foretaste of the Holy Spirit. John 20, 22. Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, the Greek verb there is very interesting because it can be translated as receive, but it can also mean to take. And what's the difference? Well, to me, receive is something passive. You want to give me something, I just am passive, I receive. But if I take, well, that is an active word, it's an action word. I actually reach out and I take it. And so, there's a translation of the Bible, it's called a Power New Testament, and it translates that verse this way. You must immediately take the Holy Spirit. Does this confuse you even more? It is one thing to receive the Holy Spirit, but how do you actually take the Holy Spirit? How do you take what you cannot see and what you cannot feel? Well, praise God, the Bible words actually help us to understand. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament for the Hebrew word is ruach, and the Greek New Testament word is pneuma, and they both have the same meaning. They mean breath, wind, or spirit. And so, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he breathed on them, because that is one of the meanings of ruach. It is breath. He breathed on them. I said that John 20 is a foretaste of Acts 2, because in John 20, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 2, it was not a breath, but it was a mighty rushing wind. Acts 2, verses 2 to 4. There came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Amen. A mighty rushing wind from heaven. You know, I cannot even make that sound for you because there's not enough breath in me to make that sound. All the sound of heaven. Mighty rushing wind from heaven. Hallelujah. Back to John 20. Jesus breathed on his disciples. Receive, take the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that before Jesus died on the cross, when he was tortured, he was spat upon, not once, but twice. First, it was the Jewish religious leaders who actually spat in his face. And that's in Matthew 26, 67. Then not just the Jewish religious leaders, but the Roman soldiers, they also spat on Jesus. Matthew 27, 30. And so you find that both Jews and Gentiles, both these groups of people spat on Jesus. I don't know if anyone has ever spat on you, spat on your face, but I can imagine it would be utter humiliation, the extreme insult, the extreme emotional injury to be spat upon. And yet here in John 20, Jesus reverses all of that. He's not spitting on anyone, but he's breathing out. And he's breathing out the breath of love, the breath of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you receive the Holy Spirit? Will you take the Holy Spirit? You may ask how. Well, to me, it is like this. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, breathe in. You say, is it that easy? I would say, yes. Pray first. Ask someone to pray for you. And then breathe in. Breathe in to receive the Holy Spirit. But if you want to go further and you want to actively take the Holy Spirit, then I would say to you, go to where the wind blows. Some years ago, I was in Palawan in the Philippines. We were doing missions, and I remember that day because the afternoon was so hot. I was perspiring, and it was really very hot. We were out in an open field. There were some trees, but we were not near the trees. And so some members of the team, they were doing children's ministry. Some other members of the team, they were doing Bible study with the adults. But for me, I had reached the point of total exhaustion. No more energy. There's something about the heat. It robs me of all my energy. And so there was nothing left in my body to give. I was in total shutdown. And then I noticed that where I was, the air was very still. But over there, the trees are moving. Over there, the leaves on the trees, they were moving. And I knew that there was wind there. And so I went to where the wind was blowing. And with the wind in my face, immediately, I was refreshed. I was revived. That's in the natural. The spiritual principle is similar. In the spiritual, we know in our heads that God is everywhere. That is true. But also we know it is true that there are certain places, certain times where the Holy Spirit is so present, the wind is blowing so strongly that you know God is in that place. This we know. And so go to where the wind blows. You know, I have a group of friends, and we are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. We all pray in tongues. We've all experienced the power of God. And yet, I have to admit to you that we came to a point where we were, in Christian jargon, we were dry. We were dry. And we needed a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was speaking to us, do something about this. Don't let yourself be dry. You know that this is the year of prayer, and our vicar, Canon Terry Wong, has been encouraging people to form prayer bands. A prayer band is a group of people who meet together for the purpose of praying. So my friends and I, we formed the prayer band, and we said that this prayer band, the focus is the Holy Spirit. And so in this prayer band, we pray a lot of the times in tongues. A little bit in English, but very much more in tongues. We worship a lot in tongues. We sing in English also, but more than that, we sing in tongues. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through prophecy, through word of knowledge, through visions. And because the Holy Spirit does come, and He does minister to us, because of this, all our fear is gone. Because we know that whatever ministry we do for God is not in our own strength, but it is the Holy Spirit working through us. And so this is our way of going where the wind blows. It is our way of taking the Holy Spirit. How about you? Will you receive the Holy Spirit? Will you take the Holy Spirit? Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's just close our eyes. The disciples were behind locked doors because of fear. Are we also behind emotional locked doors because of fear? Because we dare not face the world? Because there's someone we dare not talk to. We dare not even meet this person because this person has hurt us so many times. Do we need Jesus to deliver us from fear today? And if that's you, will you raise your hand wherever you are? You have fears and you need God's help to deliver you from this fear. Yes, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, yes. Hallelujah. There are some of us here, we need a new purpose in our life because we feel that life is just going on from day to day without meaning, without satisfaction, without joy. And we need a new purpose. We need God to show us that a life of love is the purpose He has for us. If that's you, that you want this new purpose in your life, will you also raise your hand? Amen. Yes. And there's some of us, we need the Holy Spirit. We've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't speak in tongues. But Jesus said, you will, you will. And it is His desire for us to have the Holy Spirit. Some of us have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we are hungry for more. We don't want to stagnate, but we want to grow in our knowledge and in our love of the Holy Spirit. And if that is you, will you also raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I pray, Lord, for all the people who have raised their hands, and you see every heart, and you see into every need. Father, just as Jesus could see behind the locked doors, so you see right into our hearts, Lord, and you see our needs. Lord, I pray that you minister to each one according to their needs. And Father, that we will not leave here the same, but we will leave this place changed because of you, because of your work in our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, after